All right, so we're going to do things a little different this morning, if you haven't noticed, because Sean is still up here.
Woohoo!
I really bad would be like, this is when you need to go sit down, but I invited you.
I know,
so.
Right?
But we're going to do things just a little bit different. I've been waiting and excited about what we're going to do this morning. Not just for this morning, but moving forward every once in a while. Maybe having opportunities where God lets us do something a little different on Sunday mornings, where we focus on what it says up there, God's story and our story. Meaning, there are amazing things that happens within God's church that most of us probably never know about or hear about because it's not directly something that we're part of. So that's why it's so awesome to take maybe moments and just kind of have an opportunity to share what's going on, share part of God's story that's happening within our church so that all of us as a congregation can celebrate what God is doing. And that's the intention this morning. Before we jump into this conversation that Sean and I are going to have and for us to be blessed with, I just want to give us just kind of the encouragement of why this is so important. So Scripture starts with these four words: in the beginning, God. And those four words start the greatest story that has ever been told. It's a story that didn't start necessarily with those four words because it's a story that begins in eternity past with God. And it's a story that's going to continue into eternity future with God. But it's a story that begins where God starts revealing himself to us and letting us know who he is. And so we have this beautiful story, in the beginning, God. And then the Bible shows us and tells us that this story climaxed 2,000 years ago when the Son of God gave his life upon the cross for our sins and for our redemption, for our forgiveness. And not only that, 3 days later, he walked out of the tomb victorious and resurrected. It is the greatest story that has ever been told. And the beautiful thing about this story is that there's a conclusion to it, at least an earthly and temporal conclusion. That ending could happen today, tomorrow, could happen 100 years from now, it could happen 1,000 years from now, but this story will end, and this story will end when King Jesus steps once again out of heaven and steps foot once again upon this earth. It is the greatest story that has ever been told. But here's the beautiful thing about the story. It's still being told. It didn't end with Jesus. In fact, it ramped up even more after Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, created the church. And for over 2,000 years, God has continued to write his story of redemption and his story of glory through the people of God. Right? That's the beautiful thing about what we want to talk about this morning. And here's the theme of the story from beginning to end. Realize this, and I just want to stress this so we all understand this, because as we get up here and we talk about the youth ministry and we talk about what God is doing, and we talk about how we're trying to follow him and be used by him, here's the thing. We're not the main characters of the story. The church is not the main characters of the story. Those of you that just graduated, hear me. You are not the main character of your story. God is the main character. The theme of this story from beginning to end, and it will never change, it will never diminish. The theme of this entire story is simply this one thing: the glory of God. That's the beautiful thing about the story. So as we're up here and we're sharing and we're talking and Sean is sharing some things to us as a church, don't miss the point. This is all about giving glory to God, who is the focal point of the entire story. So again, this morning what we're going to do, as I said, a little different. I'm going to sit up here and just ask some questions. We're going to talk and benefit to hear. But the point of this is to kind of peel back the curtain a little bit and let us see what God is doing through youth ministry in our community and through our church. Again, the reason is because many of us in this room probably have no connection with the youth ministry whatsoever. But this is the thing I want you to understand. You are still part of the youth ministry because this is our ministry. This is a ministry of our church. So whether or not you are physically there doing youth ministry, this is still part of your story because this is part of our story because we are all collectively part of God's story. So that's why I want us to celebrate as a church together, because you are part of this story, because you are part of this church. So with that, I've asked Shauna to stay up here, and she serves as our director of family ministries. And so we're just going to spend some time asking questions and just her kind of sharing what she wants and God has laid on her heart. And this is going to be our sermon portion. So you're not going to hear a typical sermon this morning. Good job. Nobody responded. Way to go. And keep it down. I know you got a, you had a comment you wanted to say. I will just express this. This is unscripted, other than a few questions that we kind of put together. So this is just trusting God wherever he's going to lead it. And we are going to try very, very hard to be respectful to one another. Right?
Oh. Okay.
Those of you, come to a staff meeting. You'll get it.
Well, I'm sorry. What does your first question say to me that you said you were going to say?
I'll read it.
No, this is my first one you gave me. What exactly is it that you do?
Wait a minute.
That's what the first question is that you gave me. All right, whatever.
Listen.
Continue.
Listen, my notes, I don't know what you put on your notes.
You gave me it. Continue. Wait, we have time. Let's go.
Okay. So with that, what is it exactly you do? Since you actually showed up this morning.
Yeah, that's what he told me the other day. I had post-prom games, and I missed one Sunday. And the next Sunday, I come, and he goes, oh, since you actually showed up today. So this is what I have to put up with. But he gave me a few, like, notes that he could potentially ask me. And my first question is, what exactly is it that I do? So for those who don't know, I have been on staff here at Blessed Hope for 4 years. This last June, I actually went part-time here at Blessed Hope and also joined Youth for Christ part-time. So really, I still work 40 hours in student ministry. It's just we have some resources from Youth for Christ now. I did think it was really cool that I didn't know what our our tagline was going to be, the God story, our story, which is really cool because YFC's main thing is called Three Story, and it's about like our story as leaders, their story, like the kids' story, and then God's story, and they all interweave. And so that's what we're trying to do as leaders, is be authentic and real and share our story of how Christ works in our life and how we came to him with our to the kids, so then they ultimately have their story that's connected to God. So I thought that was really cool. Oh, and you're going to hear what I do. I do a lot. I didn't want to like make all the notes, but there's a lot of little details that nobody really cares about. But basically, I am in charge of our middle school and high school ministry, and then I oversee, as the family director, I oversee the children's ministry, but I'm more hands-on with the middle school and high schoolers.
Perfect. Yep. So you mentioned YFC.
Yep.
So we're going to touch on that for a moment, because some of us, you know, there might be many in the congregation. So Heartland Youth for Christ, okay, is who we partnered with last year for your position.
Yep.
And we don't really need to go into specifics on what that looks like, but I guess for us as a congregation, let's answer the question, why? Like, why did we do it? Like, where did it come about? Why did we feel, or even now, why did we feel like, why did we feel as a church that was going to be what was best for us to be able to reach students the way God is calling us to in our community?
So Blessed Hope, we are more of a discipleship. When we have youth group, we're really meeting kids who are probably church kids for the most part. YFC's main goal is to reach lost kids. And so it's just a different target. And so obviously there's many, many more lost kids than there are church-going kids. And so YFC allows us the ability to get into places like the schools and areas that we can't get into. It was probably a year or so after I started here when Mark Moyer, the executive director of Heartland, contacted me about joining them. And I was really like apprehensive about it. Our first actual conversation between me and Mark, he actually made me rappel off of a building, so I didn't really trust him a whole lot. But then he gradually wore me down. But he just kept explaining the YFC mission, and they're very relational ministry, and that is my heart for ministry, is that connection with the kids, having them be able to trust us. Like, why would they why would they trust what we say if they don't know that we love them and that we're for them and we have those relationships with them? And so I was able to go to Colorado about a year and a half ago to institute and learned all about YFC, and it was just really what my heart, how God has created my heart to minister to people. And so it was kind of a no-brainer to be able to use their resources, their training, and just to do ministry alongside people that God has created the same with the same heart for kids. And so there's a lot of things that we're able to bounce back and forth off of each other. And so it's just been a great resource to us. And like I said, it opens up opportunities that we wouldn't have here. So.
Perfect. All right, so let's jump into that's all great stuff, but let's jump into a harder and maybe serious, serious question. Because you mentioned lost kids.
Sure.
Okay? And it's not just about reaching lost kids. It's, of course, as you said, reaching kids with the gospel of Jesus and then also discipling them and growing them in that relationship.
Sure.
So let's before we talk about some of the stuff that's being done, let's process what are students facing today? That, you know, I was actually thinking about this morning in preparation. So I started ministry. My first thing was youth ministry 25 years ago, right? The landscape is much different than 25 years ago. And sometimes in the church, we kind of look at younger generations and we filter what they're going through based on what I remember I went through and assuming it's the same, right? So let's talk about that for a minute as we talk about reaching kids and lost kids and what are students going through today?
I think that's a really valid point that I think a lot of times we look at kids like everybody's had struggles and they are lazy or they're, you know, a whole list of things that adults think about teens sometimes. But there's a mental health crisis that I think we can all acknowledge that is happening throughout our world, let alone in our teen ministry and with our teens. And so I actually had written down some statistics. This was taken from like Lifeway. And then there's another research place called Spring Tide that YFC had done some research with. And they pulled thousands and thousands of kids, and the top five things that kids are struggling with would be loneliness, stress, isolation, hopelessness, and suicide. And I think sometimes in Benton County, it's easy to think, well, we're just a small community. Like, we're not seeing what, like, kids in Cedar Rapids or Chicago are seeing. But the reality is like, we are. It's here. Every single one of those five things, I have had literal conversations with kids, middle schoolers and high schoolers, about one or more of these things. Some of the research from Lifeway says that 60% of teens and 30% of committed Christian teens struggle with depression. 35% of teens and 12% of committed teens struggle with suicidal thoughts. 50% of teens, 36% of church-going Christian teens struggle with pornography. And self-identified Christian teens are more likely than non-Christian teens to be sexually active. And so those are just some stats that were taken in a broad picture, but those are still the same stats that we have. Those are what we see. We see self-harm. We see the loneliness. I think that COVID gets kind of a bad rap sometimes with the, like, well, we didn't see any of this before COVID. But the reality is we did. I think COVID just gave people a place to be able to say, hey, I'm struggling with this, without it seeming just like it was coming out of nowhere. And so I know for ourselves, like, that has been a blessing, that kids are able to say, like, hey, these are things that I was struggling with before, but now I have the freedom to be able to share that. And then just the identity of kids, like, what is my purpose? Who am I? Who am I created to be? That is just, we live in a really crazy world, especially right now with all, like, Pride Month is here in June and LGBTQ. It's not lost on me that the things that we ask, like a brand new, you know, mother, like, what's the name of your child and what's their sex? Those are the identity from the minute they're born. And those are the things that the kids are struggling with, not knowing if they believe it, not knowing, wanting to change that. And so without the foundation of Christ, like, none of that is going to make sense, because our identity is rooted in Him and it comes from Him. And so I think that's one of the biggest things that we see.
Okay. You know, part of this also, when you think about statistics and talking about our community, my previous job that I used to do with substance prevention, one of the scariest statistics from actual surveys conducted by students in our county, in our school district, was that 1 in 3 students, and this is our county, this is our school district even, because it was broken down even by, it was the same across the board, 1 in 3 in the last 12 months have considered suicide. Like, thought about it, right? And so it can be, and you can look at that at whatever degrees that is, but I mean, that's a uh-huh. significant yeah. mission field.
Right.
When you think about what mm-hmm. students
the
are struggling with.
The hopelessness that they yeah. have to be in, yeah.
Yeah. The mm-hmm. what I project outwardly so you see, but you yeah. have no clue inwardly
right. yep.
what's going on.
Yeah. And I think our kids, I mean, with social media, they're more connected to people than they've ever been before, but the statistics show that they're the loneliest generation there is. They're really good at putting on that mask and pretending everything is fine. I think being in youth ministry, it's a place that we can try to break that down and say, like, we see you. One of our main things is that every kid feels known, named, and noticed. And so we don't want kids to slip through the cracks and hide in plain sight. Like, we want them to know that there are people to turn to in those moments, and that those are just moments that are part of life. Like, sometimes life is hard, and there's moments where any of us adults feel lonely or hopeless or have struggle with depression, but that's not not a reason to take your life. So yeah, that's tough. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So also going back to the differences in ministry now compared to previous is, and we didn't talk about this, so I'm going to throw one out here and it might fall flat, I don't know, but I wonder, what does students' knowledge base look like now when it comes to talking to them about Scripture or the Bible or, so the example, the reason I'm asking this is because you look back maybe 20 years ago and at least there was a basic knowledge, right?
Yeah.
Like, normally you had kids that were like, well, at least I went to VBS or I went to Sunday school,
sure.
and there was this basic knowledge.
Yeah.
But I wonder as things, because we're seeing a massive increase in unchurched.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, there's no church.
Right, yeah.
So sometimes when you're trying to tell somebody about Jesus, and you're just like, who's Jesus?
Right,
like, and we take it for granted. We can take it for granted. Right. Like, what do you mean you don't know this?
Yeah, yep.
You know, so what's that kind of look like? And,
sure.
And especially, as the students you're interacting with.
Yeah, I see that a lot. There's not a whole lot of biblical knowledge. I think that when it goes back to the identity part that I was saying, we'll say, like, you're loved and you're chosen, and they're like, okay, but by who? Like, those are just words that, like we're trying to speak truth into them about who Christ is, yet they don't even have the foundation of knowing who Christ is at all. And so it does definitely make it challenging. I think that, especially when we're going into the schools or we're going into places who, that they have no knowledge of Jesus. They've heard of him. They know some of their friends go to youth group. It can be a little tricky because they're just like, to be honest, Christians haven't always been great about being Christ-like. Like, we've been judgmental and our lives aren't a living testimony of how Christ is, and so sometimes it can seem hypocritical to them, and they are like, why would I even want to be part of this Christianity, or why would I go to church, or why would I, when there's no difference sometimes in our lives from an unbeliever. And so that can be an extra challenge, I think, to even get them in the door to be able to speak to who Jesus is to them.
So that raises an interesting question. So basically you're saying they are watching.
Absolutely. Okay. Yes. And they let me know they're watching. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is humbling. I mean, even for myself. So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's look then a little bit more specific. So, when we used to do youth ministry, it was, you could throw out there, we're going to have pizza and games, and you can get a bunch of kids to come, right? That's what it was, right?
Yeah.
So for anybody that doesn't brave the well on a Wednesday night or Sunday, what does a Wednesday night look like?
Sure. So Wednesday night is our, we have a 5th and 6th grade, and then we have a 7th and 8th grade. And so they overlap for about 15 minutes, and we worship all together. Otherwise, there's 2 separate programs. We teach the same lesson, but we just go deeper with the second group a little bit. It starts at 5:30. They usually start coming about 5, and the first part is just a time where we can like see them, we notice them, we're able to, like I said, call them by name and say like, hey, we're glad you're here, we see you. And then we usually lead into we start our lesson, and they do not let me forget that if they have brought their Bible, they get a piece of candy or a sticker. And a lot of times we have to remove the candy from Philip because he does not follow the rules and he's sitting back there eating it all. But they, the last group, this year, the fifth, sixth graders, like, I don't know if it's like 27 kids or something, all brought their Bibles. And so that was really cool. We have them reading scripture throughout the lesson. They read it out loud. Sometimes we'll go to small groups if we have time. But we've made it a place where they're very open to be able to ask questions, so that it's not a, hopefully, an intimidating place that, you know, the leaders are looking like we have it all put together and that these kids are silly for asking things. Like, we know, even as believers, like, we don't know everything, and so we're learning sometimes right along with them. And we do play games sometimes. Sometimes we don't. I think a lot of times the pictures are showing the fun stuff that we can do, but a lot of times we run out of time because we're doing small group or we're praying. And food works. I mean, nothing's changed there. Yeah. We have a team of midweek people who make snacks for our middle schoolers, and they let us know if we didn't set them out in time. So,
yeah.
I mean, which I get that.
Snacks are great on Thursday morning.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes they're missing on Tuesday.
That's true.
I see that too.
Yeah. It's not because, listen, I'm going to share this story.
Turn his mic off.
It's a fun story. One of the treats they make is Scotcheroos.
They're so good.
So good.
So good. And Sean and I got in trouble once for getting into Scotcheroos. Wasn't it Scotcheroos? Oh.
We probably got in trouble.
Okay, well,
for
those
both.
Are so good, too. Those are really good, too. And needless to say, this is why there's some animosity between, because we, like, this is a year ago, and we still are going back and forth on whose fault it was.
David's.
Because you went first. Like, so anyways. Well,
okay, I'll own that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
You waited. Confession.
Yeah. Oh, you see. I don't even care. It was well worth it.
It was well worth it.
Yeah. So, anyways, they're delicious. Our midweek team does a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about this, but I think it's a good chance to say it. That's another prime example. One of the things we will hopefully get to before we're done this morning is encouraging us as a church that there are so many different ways that we can support and be part of ministries, even if you don't want to go down there and actually play and teach and have that one-on-one. And that's one of the reasons we want to have these moments of sharing these stories, is because there are so many ways that we can support. And part of it is a group of people that get together weekly and make snacks that Shauna and I can sneak.
Thanks.
Thanks for the extras.
Yeah.
So that's Wednesday.
Yes.
That's middle school. So then what does
high school
look like?
All right, so high school is on Sunday evenings, and it looks substantially different. I feel like high schoolers are attending because they really want to attend. Like, they really want to grow deeper in their faith, where sometimes the middle schoolers, it's a cool place to be, or their parents drop them off. And not that they don't love it and appreciate it, but there's something special when you see a room full of high schoolers that have driven themselves there, that truly want to dig in deeper. A lot of times we don't play games. I'll stay late and stay open until they want to leave, but they really just... We do eat. We have a meal the first half hour, so they do come for food. And that first half hour is just a time for fellowship between the kids. It gives us leaders a chance to kind of like gauge the room, have follow-up questions from, you know, if we had a conversation earlier in the week or the week before. So it's just kind of a low-key time that as we just start to kind of gather together. And then after the food, we do a lesson. High school ministry is a lot quieter than middle school ministry.
Philip's not there.
Oh, you know what? Yes, that might be it. Yeah. Actually, Philip came one time and was like, I don't even know what's going on. They don't talk. I don't know what's going on. And so it's just a different ministry. So, but it is really cool to see that they are just you know, digging in. A lot of them, they're allowed to keep their phones, which is a big deal. Like, the middle schoolers are very offended that they have to put theirs in a basket every time. So high schoolers seem to have a little more self-control, and so they can use the Bible app on their phone, and so we, you know, teach them that. And yeah, it's kind of an entirely different ministry. They don't really want to worship out loud together, like, which is like middle school, that's like one of the top things. And so our thing is, like, we just want them there, and we're meeting them where they want to be and what their comfort level is. And so it's a very different, but it's really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so then let's talk specifics as far as what has God been doing then this year.
Sure.
Where, you know, whether it's an experience that you've noticed in some youth life, whatever. Okay. Yeah, but what's he been doing?
All right, can we start with the well?
Sure.
Can we go back there?
We can go
okay.
back there.
Okay, we're going to go to the well. So many of you know that we, last summer, there was a substantial renovation done of the Revolution building that transformed into the well. So that was a really big project, and it was a really just amazing way that God orchestrated all of that. So to give just a little bit of back history, when I first started high school ministry, Tim and I actually had it in our house, and we were kind of modeling high school life groups as like our small groups here at church, that we were going to do life with these kids. We wanted it to really be more of an intimate setting than like in the big sanctuary. Within a year, we grew out of our house, and so then the next year, we went down to the Revolution building where we had the couches by the fire place, and then we started to grow out of that also. For years, the entire time I had been on staff here, I have been looking at that building, knowing that God had something in store for it, but not having really any idea, just praying that he would, you know, make it known when it was time. And then there was a Right Now Media conference that some of the church, I think we rented the thing, and it was down at the building. And I remember sitting there and like looking up at the ceiling and then looking over, and we went on break, and Matt Hance was like, okay, what's happening in your head? Because you're not watching the screen. And I'm like, well, that ceiling is really tall over there, which means we could put a basketball hoop over there and a volleyball net over there. And so that was kind of the start of the first, like, okay, like, what is God doing with this building? And so we talked to the elders. We prayed about it and talked for probably a year before we got the go-ahead last year to actually, like, officially be able to tear down walls and renovate it. Not that there was anything wrong with it. It was fine. David's a little salty about it sometimes.
No, I'm not.
You so are.
Finish what you're saying.
Okay.
Finish, and I'll correct you.
Okay, perfect. So it was fine, and it was great, and it served its purpose, and it was an amazing building. It just wasn't maybe necessarily like teen cool or teen friendly. And so in order to make it be their space, we renovated it to make it a little more modern, and we were able to add the basketball hoop and a game room upstairs. And so that was just a really cool, I think, a lesson in patience and a lesson in obedience. I tend to kind of just want to rush into knocking down walls. And so to have to just, like, truly wait for God's timing was awesome. We had so many kids down there who would just come help us throughout the summer. And then I remember one time there were a group of four or five, six kids who just showed up in the middle of the day. And I'm like, they know we're not open, right? Because they were just like upstairs playing carpet ball, and they're like, yeah, we don't care. And so the excitement, like, they were so excited just to be able to come in there. And so that was a huge part of how God has moved. Yeah, just this year alone, between 5th grade through 12th grade, we had over 137 students come in. And I don't know the exact stats offhand, but I sent them to the elders a while ago, and it was basically like a third Blessed Hope kids, a third other church kids, and then a third of Lost Kids. And really, the Lost Kids, it's because our kids are on fire, and our kids are inviting their friends, And so that has been like probably the biggest, just coolest thing I've seen, is that they are ministering to their friends and they're inviting them there. And just the last group we had a new girl come and she's like, oh, I wondered what this is about, because everybody keeps talking about the well and youth group, and I'm so excited I can finally be here. And so like that was just a really, you know, it's so cool when you get to hear this feedback directly from the kids. There was one day, my office is actually at the well, and it was like 5:30 or so, and I could hear a bunch of kids with bikes in the back, and I heard this one kid go, let's just knock on the door. Maybe she'll let us in. Let's just try it. Well, it was my friend's son, and I'm like, I'm going home. You're not coming in. And then there was another time, actually, this is maybe one of the coolest stories, I think, that I have to share from the last year, is that I went out to leave work one night, and probably a block and a half down, there were some three kids on bikes. And I heard one of them yell, "Hey, Shauna," and I turn around, and I think I kind of knew who it was. And a few minutes later, you know, this boy and two of his friends come riding to the back of the building. And the one boy that I knew, he had came to youth group off and on just once since we'd had the well. He goes to another church also. But he brought two boys with him who I had no idea who they were. And I just happened to have three Swiss cake rolls in the back of my car that I was emptying from prom. And I handed them to them. And the one says, "Why is she giving us food?" And the kid I knew was like, "I don't know. This is what she does. She feeds us." And so I was like, "Amen." And so then he was like, "Gosh, I wish we could go in and show the building." And I said, "Oh my gosh, go in." So we unlocked it, and they went back in. And I mean, I don't speak total teenage language, but I think this was good. They're like, "Whoa, this is like so dope. And we didn't know that this place existed. And this is cooler than the Rec Center." And then just a whole line of like, can I show these kids around? And so it was like 45 minutes probably that they stayed and played basketball and went upstairs. And then I was like, okay, like I have an appointment. I really do have to leave. And the one's like, "Well, when can we come back?" And I said, and this I think was like maybe on a Monday. And I said, "Well, you know, Wednesday nights when we do youth group." And you guys, they came back, all three of them, invited another friend to come. And then the next 2 weeks, one of the kids that I had no idea who he was, he ended up coming back both weeks. And so, and this is a kid that now I've seen around town, and he kind of looks at me like, "Okay, I should know you." And then I'm like, "Hey," like we have that conversation. And so just having that space, that wasn't necessarily like a Wednesday or Sunday night group, it was just the building opened up. We're starting to see some fruits of just extra kids coming in that we would probably have not seen otherwise. And then another one of my favorite stories is the very first, like I don't even know if we were 100% done with renovation yet. I'm off on Fridays, and I had went to town, and Megan Rickles had, you know, this whole group of high school boys, and she says, "Hey, we're all going to go down to the well." And she shows me pictures, and it's like the football team and these cheerleaders and all of these kids down there that had, you know, a break before their game. And one of the boys is like, "Hey, Megan, is this like anybody can come down here, or do you have to belong to this church?" And so she was able to minister to this boy and just, you know, tell him like who we are as a church, but who Jesus is a little, what the well is. And so it's been really cool to see how God has moved using just the obedience and the patience of this building. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's been cool.
And it is. And so I will share this because it is a lesson for me, but I'll share for everybody because I think this can relate to all of us in some way, especially when it comes to ministry. I did have my moments when it came to the building. For those that don't know where it came from, that was when our churches merged. That was our church building, and we were part of the renovation, you know, doing the work that was there before. And I remember I did not go down there until after she started tearing into it. Okay, and now here's the deal. She made a mess, right? And I don't mean that bad. So the first time I walked in, legitimately, I'm like, "What did she do?" Like, it was just, and I wasn't sad about it. I wasn't angry about it. But you have those moments of like, "Oh my goodness."
Yeah, right? Welcome to Tim's life.
We struggled. And I share this because everybody in this room, it doesn't matter. Sooner or later, we've all dealt with this. We struggle with change. Right? We struggle with change. Whether it's whatever it is, we struggle with change. And so, yes, I will admit I had this moment of just like, oh. You know, and there was a sadness to it because it was changing. But this is the truth that I will share for us, not just with this building, but as a church and as we move forward and even in your own lives. Just realize this. When you spend all of your time and energy trying to hold on to what was, you will never experience what God wants to be. Right? And that's just a lesson, not just in the building, but just in life and chasing after God. And it's great. We can celebrate. Like, I still celebrate what God did for us in ministry there before the merger.
Mm. Right? And I celebrate that you guys took down that brick wall.
Well, yeah, because that was a blessing be a bigger for us, mess you would have to deal with. But that's just the encouragement with that is when we think about what God is doing, just the encouragement to all of us is we should always, everything should be on the table in our lives, always, as a church and as our families and as individuals. God, it's all on the table because I'm going to follow you where you're taking me, Lord. I'm running to keep up with you. And so if we're too busy holding on to what was, we will never experience what can be. Right? And that's, I think that's a good lesson.
Yeah.
Like what the stories you're sharing and the ministry that's happening there wouldn't be happening if there was this line in the sand of saying no.
Right.
No change. Things can't be different. We can't. So I think that's a great lesson just as a church and as Christians as we follow Jesus and all of that. So as we kind of wrap up and all of that, let's just end it with this question is, as you shared the ministry and what's going on, and while we're not doing this to say, hey, sign up to be part of the student ministry, that's not the intention of this. But as I shared at the beginning, this is all our story. Right? This is our church's ministry. We are doing this together. So I guess, what is some insight or some things you can share? How do we support what God is doing?
Yeah, I think sometimes people hear that and they're like, whoa, I don't want to be with teens or I don't want to be hands-on with them, which I get. Like, we're not all equipped for that. Like, I totally understand that. I think the biggest thing, and like, this is a very pastoral answer here, David, but just be in prayer. I mean, that is our first line of defense, is that Satan is attacking our kids. He's attacking the schools. He's attacking teachers. He's attacking friends. And so I know we say that, like, be in prayer for our kids, but like, really be in prayer. I think of these, you know, high schoolers who are ready to launch into this whole other area and just the attack that is going to come on them. Like, we know as believers that is just part of life. And so, first and foremost, prayers. And then, yes, we will always, always love volunteers to pour into kids. We have a handful of people that work down on Wednesday and Sunday nights. But like I said, I'm super big in relational ministry, and kids aren't going to necessarily trust you unless they have a relationship with you. And so some of it is just like, we've had a couple women here who've just started a Bible study for teen girls. On my heart, there's a Bible study that I would love for teen boys, that I just, would love male leaders to step into that. And that doesn't have to be in a group of 30 kids, but that is just taking some kids under your wing and seeing them and knowing them and being able to connect with them. There's, you know, obviously they love food. There's always the financial part of food. There's the bringing of extra food. A community support team that YFC is kind of getting started. So not just here at Blessed Hope, but like there's lost kids that, you know, in all over our community. And so just to have a group that is praying for them, that is willing to, if I need help getting something, that they can, you know, help support. Our numbers have grown substantially in the last couple of years, and the reality is our volunteers haven't. And so when I look at the ministry I want to do, there's a pretty big gap, because I would never want any kid to walk away feeling like I didn't have the time or the energy or the space for them. And the reality is there's only so much that us as volunteers or staff can pour into. I guess my biggest thing is that if God's stirring in your heart in any capacity, just to pray about it. Come talk to myself or Tim or Stacy or Jen or any of the Philip even. I really do love you, Philip. And see like how it is. Like, I mean, you don't come for a night, come see what it's like. But basically just, be in serious prayer about, these are our kids. And so like David said, these aren't just, my responsibility because I'm on staff or the volunteers who've stepped in, but, I remember when 9/11 happened, Tim and I were thinking of starting a family, and I remember saying, like, we can't do this. Like, why would we bring kids into this world? Like, this is crazy. And after lots of conversations and prayer, we're like, okay, if not us, then who? Like, it's our job. Like, we are in charge of this generation, right? And so someday we're not going to be here, and this room is going to be filled with these high school or middle school students, and it is our responsibility as Christians and as part of a church family to pour into them. there's lots of different ways to do that. So, and just one more, if you are interested in learning more about YFC, we're actually doing a See the Story down at the well on June 22nd, and you'll get to hear from some of the volunteers, and you'll get to just hear how youth ministry looks a little bit more in depth from that end. So anyone is invited to attend there. I'll probably have Malia stick it in the bulletin so to have it written down, but if you have questions, like, feel free to reach out because we would love to answer them. Yeah. And talk to the kids. They're really not as scary as they think they try to act like. They're really fun. Yeah.
So before you leave, if anybody's interested, on the welcome table, there's an actual prayer card for praying over, and it says your children, but when I was looking over it, this is something you can take and you can pray over all students, right? Mm-hmm. So if you want a resource, they're at the welcome table until, take one. And this just gives you something you can pray through to guide you with that. And the last thing I would just say is how to get involved is, again, I agree, it doesn't have to be down there teaching a Bible study. And I'm going to speak to I just want to focus on men for a moment. Sometimes as men, we kind of check ourselves out, and because maybe we say, well, I don't know how to teach the Bible. Do you realize that most young boys, especially if they don't have a father figure or a strong father figure in their home, man, they just want a guy that will take them out and show them how to do stuff. Like, you don't even have to have a Bible study. Sometimes it's just having a man in their life to say, hey, come here, and I'm going to show you how to work on this car. Come here, I'm going to show you how to go fishing. Come here, I'm going to show you how to mow the yard right. You know, what I mean by that is that every man has something that you enjoy doing, and you have a knowledge base. And I would just encourage you. And that's true for ladies also, so I don't want to just, but man, we have a generation of young men that really need just that presence of, just, hey, I want to give you somebody just to look up to and show you love and caring and all of that. So I just want to encourage that also, to think about that and pray about that. So, all right, well, I appreciate it. Yeah. That's awesome. And especially the ministry. I'm going to ask our praise team to come up, and then as they are coming, let's just pray a blessing upon what God is doing. And after we sing, I'm just going to ask, bear with us just a couple more minutes, because Haley's going to come up and have one last announcement for Faith in Action, which starts on Thursday. So after we're done singing, please don't just rush off. Allow her just a couple minutes to come up and share these last thoughts as we prepare for that ministry. But Father God, we are going to rejoice in you this morning. Lord, I am reminded of your word that talks about Jesus. When this is going through my mind, when Jesus is preparing to multiply the fish and the bread to feed the multitudes, and your word says that even before Jesus asked for resources, he already knew what he was going to do. And that encourages me this morning, that Lord Jesus, you already know your will. You already know what you're planning to do. You're just reaching out the invitation to us to be involved, and saying, come be part of this. Come experience the amazing plans that I have. And Lord, I rejoice in that this morning. I give you praise for the work that you have already done, for the individuals that you have raised up to have a heart for the younger generation in our community and within our church. But Lord, we also intercede for them. I intercede for, Lord, the enemy wants to destroy our younger generation. He wants to destroy their purpose. He wants to destroy their worth. He wants to destroy the way that you want to use them. Lord, we should know as believers that when the enemy goes after the younger generation, when he goes after children, and he goes after youth, and he goes after teenagers, Lord, when he does that, we should pay attention to know, Lord, that means you have something amazing planned. Because he wants to stop whatever your intentions are. And he doesn't want to see you glorified, and he doesn't want to see people reach for Jesus, Lord. So in the midst of the struggle, Lord, I am going to rejoice and say thank you, Lord, for having such an amazing and beautiful purpose and plan for all the young lives that you are creating and that you are placing in our community, Lord. But we pray protection upon them. We pray revelation of Jesus Christ, Lord. We don't pray for a empty faith, Lord, but I pray for a real powerful relationship with Jesus Christ to be in each and every one of them through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that they become the ones that burn brightly for you and take the gospel, not just around our community and the school, Lord, but these are the lives that you're going to use to take the gospel around the world. Lord, and such an awesome Such an awesome blessing to think how we get to be part of that, whether through our prayers, through our active involvement, through our supports, through our encouragement, whatever it is, Lord, we get to be part of that. So we give you praise, and we just love you. And Lord, just continue to bless your church. In your name we pray. Amen.